Yo, what's up, all you burner stoners and potheads? This is Weedman 420 with the Weedman 420 Chronicles. How are all you vipers doing out there, Mrs. Weedman?
Mr. Weedman.
How the hell are you?
I think I'm back.
You're back.
I'm back.
I know why you're back.
Why?
Because we're going to smoke a joint.
Yay.
Are you ready?
I'm back at that. Not always.
Hey, all you vipers out there, how are you smoking some big fat doinks where you're listening to this show? And we're about to get normal. And we are smoking a strain that was given to me by a friend of ours, Igneous. And the strain is called Ecstasy. And this strain, you have that
like
there.
Ecstasy.
There you go.
Tricky. Look at me with my...
I know. You haven't smoked in a while, so you're not used to picking up that joint and getting us normal.
Well, I it's like a bicycle. You don't forget.
So this is known as Ecstasy. It's slightly sativa dominant strain 6040, created through crossing the infamous Platinum Girl Scout cookies and Mrs. Natural strains, the perfect bud for when you want to lift before you kick back. Ecstasy brings on the full-bodied effects with lean, surprisingly to the indica side of things, even when it's sativa dominance. The high starts with a boost of spirits, infusing your mind with the lifted sense of euphoria that immediately wipes any negative or racing thoughts. A relaxing body high comes next, filling your physical form with deeply calming sense of locks you in a couch, and leaves you feeling totally pain-free. Ooh, I hope so. These sedative effects are a combination with a super high... THC average that makes ecstasy the perfect choice for treating patients suffering from conditions such as chronic pain, appetite loss, or nausea, insomnia, chronic stress, and depression. This bud has a sweet yet spicy menthol flavor with a notable nutty exhale. The aroma is very similar with an earthy herbal overtone that's extended by a punch of minty menthol. Ecstasy buds have rounded, small, fluffy olive green nugs with long, thin orange hairs, coating of frosty, chunky white crystal trichomes. I would say this bud that Igneous gave us is absolutely phenomenal. Looking, the smell, everything. I hit you hard, huh?
It got me.
Happy, hungry, relaxing, sleepy, uplifting are the effects. Relief symptoms of chronic pain, depression, insomnia, nausea, and stress. The flavors are herbal, menthol, nutty, and sweet. Aromas are earthy, herbal, nutty, and spicy. Thank you, Igneous, for this lovely, lovely strain we're about to smoke. I will tell you this, the GG4 you gave us was phenomenal. The at Brunch of Stoners, where you gave us a bunch of strains, and thank you for the hookup, because you supplied us with some weed that gave a lot of people some taste of something they probably never had before. So I appreciate you throwing to the cause. Thank you so much. And how is it?
It's very tasty. As you were reading the description, I was paying attention to my palate. And yes, very accurate. The nutty, a little spicy. It's very flavorful. I'm just choking.
You are.
I am. It's okay. All right. The menthol, you get that little mintiness at the end.
The smell was fantastic. Those nugs were absolutely incredible. So trichomish and just so many crystallies and beautifulness. So thank you, Igneous, for the cause of this smoking under strain. This was a joint rolled by me. But I cheated, though, because I used a machine.
There was a little gap. It went out.
That's all right.
We'll make it work. It didn't go out now. Now I think you're good. Oh.
I got Mr.
Weedman's starting fires. Dropping cherries.
I did drop a cherry, but it went in my lap.
Did it burn your leg?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's a good thing. Let me see that ashtray over there so I can throw this in.
Yep.
Good stuff. There we go. All right. Didn't burn the new rug down. So, first and foremost, our 420 episode. This is episode 201. And
right now, we're recording.
Yes, we're recording. And I want to thank everybody out there for one who helped us make this come true. I'd like to thank everybody who helped us with part one and everybody who helped us with part two. I especially like to thank Shawty for all the work she did putting these episodes together, for the clips that she did. Also like to thank Braden too, who did a lot of the filming for us on day two at Made Gallery. I'd also like to thank Chris, the owner of Made Gallery, for letting us film there, and also talking and doing a smoke session with him, and everybody who helped us out with this. It was a wonderful episode. Part one, part two. Mr. G, thank you for singing two songs for us. The old crew, thank you for showing up. Everybody that came out, all you young business owners that came out and helped us put together part two. I love y'all. Thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for the comments, for the listens, for the likes. And I want to especially thank all you out there in the world who gave us a shot, who listened to our show, because if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be where we're at today. So thank you, everybody around the world who listens to our show. You're some of the most important people in my life, and I appreciate you all out there for keeping us going and having us do this show on a weekly basis. And we love you. Ms. Wee Man, you got anything to say about that?
Well, no, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work. So, yes, Sam, I have a struggle with the whole shoddy. She's Sam to me. Anyway, you know, this is a side hustle for her, and she really took a lot of her personal time to help us out. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes to put each episode together, prep time, recording, post-production, you know, there's a lot. And she's a beneficial part of our team, and we really thank her for that. And more recently, we started working with Braden at, I always want to say Gotham Video. Is it Gotham Video?
I don't know. You tell me.
Bedlam Video. Bedlam Video, there you sorry. Go. It makes me think of Batman. Is Bedlam? Gotham.
I don't think so. It's Bedlam, right?
Bedlam. Yes. Yes, it is.
Yes.
Anyway, Braden is phenomenal. He's a videographer, and we just needed more live action content to share with everybody so people get to know what we're doing here. And he's just done a phenomenal job capturing that. So we'll be sharing lots more little video clips and engaging a little bit more in that way, so that if you haven't seen our show, maybe you can even just catch little clips of it, and it may inspire you to listen, or maybe those little blurps are just enough. But anyway, we're just here to advocate and share. We always say that we're not educators. We're not professionals.
No, we are educators. We're not experts.
From our own passion standpoint,
we're not experts.
In our own personal experiences, we are not experts. Right. We are not educators in the sense of credentialed teaching. It's just us humans that are part of the cannabis community that want to share what we know about a wonderful plant. And we just continue to do this in hopes that people are learning from us or sharing with us and engaging with us, because we can all learn more together. And I'm really high, and I think I could just keep rambling on. So, thank you for everybody that joined both part one and part two. Polly, Shayna, Maddie, Carlos, Blake, Lena, Felix, Chris, Toasty, Courtney.
Cody.
It was his birthday. He hung out with us.
And he gave us a big fat doink.
Yes, he did. And some great flower was shared at Made Gallery. Just all in all, Mr. G, everybody.
And the flower that was given to us here by Midwest Terps, by Three Trees, by Ralph Wiley, by Superlative Solventless, by IC Collective. All the weed that we got thrown to us was amazing.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. All the people that rolled doinks for the show was amazing. Just the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
So
Lots of fun. And it was very collaborative. And thank you for everybody who partook in it. And enjoy the show.
Yes.
And we're moving on.
Yes.
We're in the 200s now.
Yeah, we are.
Right?
We're old.
We've been around for a few weeks.
Yes.
Yeah.
We had a good couple of weeks, though, too. We had a bunch of stoners, right?
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. We got to meet a lot of new people there. Come find us there. The June 2nd one's coming up. Get your tickets and come see us. We'll be out in the tent again.
Yep.
Rolling joints, talking about our brand and having a good time.
Yeah. You know? And I think we're going to bring back a rolling station. We kind of did it on this last event. It was kind of like an activation space where there were rolling trays out. If you had your own flower, you could use our stuff to roll. So we'll elaborate. Each month we're kind of evolving and adding some component or some feature, or learning something from the last one to make it better for the next one. So get your Brunch of Stoners tickets and come see us.
Yes.
Yeah.
420 was fun. We went around, hit a few spots, and then came back here and just chilled.
Yeah.
Got really high.
Yeah, we did.
Yes. We had a lot of fun getting really high. It was nice. We just, by the time it was like 7 o'clock, we were done. It was a long couple of weeks, and we just wanted to just chill. And your sister came over, and just the three of us just chilled and smoked a lot of weed.
Yeah. We had the music on.
Yeah. It was just, we needed
just
it.
Hanging out.
It was just nice. And plus Yuki was sick too, so it kind of forced us to come home too.
I just spilled my water.
Got a drinking problem.
I do over
here.
Got a hole in my lip.
Igneous, you got her baked with that ecstasy.
Thanks, Igneous. Yeah, I'm baked.
What else we got coming up? May 19th, come see us at Blue Island Beer Company for Chad. The comedy hour with Chad the Bird.
Yep.
Right? And he talks about weed and the story, the history of weed.
He's
a lot of fun.
Puppet. Yes. He's a bird puppet.
Yes.
And there is then a ventriloquist. Someone's back there puppeting him.
Yes, puppeting him.
I think it's a ventriloquist. I don't think it's a puppet.
I think it's a puppet.
Yeah.
Because you don't see the guy.
You don't see the
guy?
He's
in the box underneath.
All right, it's a puppet.
With his hand up the puppet's ass.
Chad. Chad's funny.
Chad's very
funny. He spends a lot of time in Chicago. He's got some good Chicago humor.
And there'll be music there too and other comedians also. Yeah. So, and there'll be a few vendors. I'll be there.
A few vendors.
Stuff and joints.
I think food.
Yeah, there'll be some food. So come. Good beer. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So come see us on that May 19th. And we'll be around town visiting people and having some fun. I think that's really about it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did we miss anything or anybody?
I don't know. I feel like we have another May event, but we'll
let
you know.
We'll let y'all know. So
we'll let you know.
Yep. So you ready to get the show started?
Yeah. Let's do this.
Igneous, thank you. You're not a big bong smoker.
No.
You're starting to now on the Puffco. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a you've gotten better, but you were never a big bong ripper.
I like to just keep things simple.
You do. So, but there's
some beautiful glass.
Wonderful.
And I have enjoyed smoking out of some beautiful glass. I just don't want to have to clean more stuff.
There's just it's good lazy. Reasons, though, for a good bong.
Yeah. It's
hard on your chest.
It's not really, though.
No,
because you could pace your inhale. You don't have to do like
the whole
these giant bong rips.
Well, you used to think that. Here's
right,
the thing.
Right.
You used to think I'm like, you
I'm
don't
like, I'm drooling
I'm
into
like,
the bong.
You don't have to take
I can't
the whole
take
thing.
Any more
just put
in.
Your hand over the top and just cover it.
Because I had to like exhale and inhale.
And it was so funny. You were like, oh my God, that's right. And you don't have to take, you don't. You can stop anytime you want.
Right. Now I've learned that at least, right?
But there's old school people that love their bong. They name their bongs. They create it, cuddle it, kiss it at night before they put it away. But there's new people now that are intimidated by bongs, too. Because they see these and like, really? You were for a long time intimidated by it because you would see all that smoke in there like going, I can't take that whole thing. You know,
it was just like a lot to do. It's like, you got to hold the bong. You got to light the bowl. You got to lift the bowl. You got to bop-a-doop-a-doop. I'm like,
how'd that go?
Bop-a-doop-a-doop.
No, it went different.
Beep-a-doop-a-boop.
It went different.
Beep-a-bop-a-boop.
That's four different ways.
Oh, shoot. I can never be a musician because I can't keep a beat too long. I can't even remember what I did 1 second ago.
Oh, gosh. Acceptance of marijuana and cannabis has grown. And, you know, with a lot of states doing a lot of money, and there's just, but some people need to find, they either find bongs inconvenient or they love bongs and they have them from the time they were, some people have their bongs from the time they were like 15, 14 years old, maybe even younger when they got their first. And some people have taken care of that bong and
it's
kept
nostalgic.
It in a bassinet. Wrapped in blankets
so
they never lose it.
They do not. Maybe when they're moving.
And still have their bong, and they might be 51 years old. They might be 70 years old. They might have it from the 60s, their first bong, and they might have had it still. There's some people out there. I would love for people to DM me their bongs from like, it doesn't even have to be.
Like over 25-year-old bongs.
Yes, that would be great.
We want to see them.
Yuki, do not go that way. You will knock into the camera. Don't do it. Come this way. So some people,
we had
to call her out. So the thing about bongs is it's a great device. It's effective in managing dosages, just like how much you like your steamroller. Mm-hmm. You can manage your dose and treating your lungs with a little more care than a joint, thanks to the water and the ice and everything in that, keeping the cold, running it through the water filter. So and technology has evolved over the years with new devices available to help keep your space clean, right?
Mm-hmm.
And more compact, and mostly importantly, make the most of your high price stash, right? Spend a lot of money on weed. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure what you're smoking out of is good.
Is good.
You know, clean your bong, people. Clean your bong. Better grasp on your dosage, right? just like you like your steamroller because you could see it. You can get a really good look at your bong that you're ripping at, especially if it's clear glass. You could see the smoke. You see how much you could take, as much as you want or as little as you want. You could stop your hit when you want. You don't have to always pull it. If you want to pull it or don't want to pull it, you know, you could just, you don't have to hit it that hard too. Mm-hmm. You could hit it very light.
And the smoke is chilled by the time it reaches you. It's not harsh.
Yeah. That's why, I mean, so it's easy to consume. Lighter, pull, you know, makes that great noise, you know. Bongs are more efficient, though, when it comes to prolonging your weed. Since you consume so much smoke per hit, they tend to get you high faster with less puffs than you were smoking a joint or a blunt. That's why you never fill. Some people could take huge bong rips and they can clear that whole chamber once. I always like packing it small because then I can clear it. And then you know you're not taking that much either. It also depends on how much you want to pack too. And you don't have to pack that bowl to the hilt. You can put very minute in there where it just gives you one little puff and little smoke, you know. And remember that too. You don't have to fill that up all the way. You can get smaller bowls. You don't have to get the big monster bowls if you're not used to that. Some people can. Some people like to pass it around and share out of one bowl. Mm-hmm. The way we always did it was you pack that bowl, it's yours, you clear it. So pack it as much as you want or as less than you want. But it's yours. Mm-hmm. You got to clear it. Right. So that's another thing. That's etiquette right there. Clear your bong.
One of the first times I smoked a bong in like a consumption event, I remember the bud tender saying like I thought I just got to take my one hit and then move on.
Right.
He's like, would you mind clearing your bowl? Yes. I was like, oh, sorry.
So that's why when you're packing your own bowls,
I didn't realize that was like the thing.
When you're packing your own bowls, you basically kind of like pack to your limit what you're willing to take in, you know? So, and Yuki keeps on trying to pass, and she wants to go to her spot. Everybody say hi to Yuki.
Say hi.
As you can tell, we're stoned.
Say hello.
So also you have to think it's smoother and gentler hits on your lungs and preventing irritation, filtering out some of the ash that occurs with combustion, which great now. They also have they have a bong within a bong. So there's little ash catchers in bongs now where you can get it where it's a piece and it catches your ash so it doesn't go into your piece. Oh. It's a piece within a piece within a piece. So you can like get that to where it's an ash catcher where it just and it adds water too and it stays in there.
I've seen that.
Yes, our friend Toasty has a beautiful one.
Yeah,
he has a beautiful piece. He has that Swiss piece, which is absolutely amazing. There's some very intricate bongs out there. There's some beautiful bongs out there. There's beautiful glass pieces out there, and there's cheapos too. You can buy. You know, I mean, I'm not gonna knock it. I have a cheapoed one still. I still have. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just up to you and your journey. With smoking a bong, you know, it is a journey to pick out your first one. Is such a special moment. You've never picked your own out. You've picked out a pipe, but you've never picked out your own bong. When you pick out your first bong, I mean, I remember my first one, I think it was like, I don't know, 18, 19. It was my first because I could never keep it in the house. I had pipes and stuff, but I never could keep a one-y, but I could never keep bongs in the house, you know. But when I moved out for the first time, I got my first, and that was pretty special. And it was, you know, Graphics back then was the big bong back then.
Yeah,
and I had a Graphics bong, and it was amazing. A bunch of my buddies all had Graphics bongs too. They were special back then. And but it is something special, your first piece. And there's such beautiful glass out there now. There's so many shows you can go to, right? We've seen so many beautiful pieces in our time. Made Gallery. How about some of those pieces? Oh, those dab bong, those dab rigs there too, just in his bongs. Just, oh my goodness. I mean, you can get deep. I mean, colors, the different types of colors you can get. Yeah. And you can have stuff specially made for you now. I mean, there's the most expensive bong that I've ever seen and got to hold was like a $5,000 piece. And it was absolutely gorgeous. And it also had the liquid nitrogen or the liquid hydrogen in there where you could put in the freezer, like in the glass. Uh-huh. And the smoke or the vapor goes through that piece and it just chills it right away. And it was a Spider-Man themed bong. And this thing was like fucking gorgeous.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it was beautiful. So, I mean, there's such fun toys to have. And people get deep in them. Some people collect pieces and some people just like have their one, like I said. So if you have something really cool and you want to show Mr. and Mrs. Weed Man, send it to us. I would love to see it, and I'll post something cool. Our friend Tez in Australia, he has a really cool one. Mm-hmm. He has that one that he did himself. It's all metal.
Steel.
And he fabricated it, and he welded it together, and he has an 8-decade sticker going down the side of it, which is dope. So just show your pieces with us. I love let's talk and have some fun, right? Sublinguals. We don't give sublinguals enough love.
I know.
And you use them now.
Yeah.
And, you did a lot of people who can't smoke, they can only do edibles or sublinguals are great, patches and all that kind of stuff. They have their place. I like a good sublingual. Go ahead. Tell us about it, Ms. Wee Main.
Yeah. I've got an article about what you need to know about cannabis sublinguals. If you have issues smoking or need a quick help with anxiety, how about trying cannabis sublingual strips? Sometimes you need something quick to either chill or reduce anxiety. If you can't or don't like smoking or drinking alcohol, there is another answer. Sublingual strips can help, and here's what you need to know about each of them. They're a bit of a niche item, with vaping, gummies, and traditional flower being more popular. But using a sublingual strip or tincture is easy, mess-free, and discreet. Sublinguals refer to a type of product that is absorbed under the tongue. Pfizer made this mainstream in 2002 when they brought Listerine mouthwash strips to market. The cannabis industry paid attention, and now you can buy sublingual cannabis in oil, tablets, tinctures, and rapidly dissolving strips. They're great for a quick hit to relax, chill out, manage pain, or calm anxiety. This is a very visual strain of cannabis.
Oh, yeah. There's some ecstasy in there.
Was that light just blinking?
It was
for me.
It's a very euphoric strain.
Yeah, I'm sitting here seeing stars.
I'm sitting here just watching stuff float right now. It's kind of nice.
And then I've got new glasses, so I can half see. All right.
Did you bring your shoes too?
I have my shoes on in case I need to go somewhere. I've been home for like 5 hours. Using a sublingual product is easy. First, swallow to avoid saliva from capturing the product. Swallowing too quickly after using can wash away the cannabinoids, providing a different and less effective experience. Instead, swallow first. Then hold your sublingual THC product in your mouth until it dissolves. This can be done in a variety of ways, from letting it sit under your tongue or pressing it into your cheek. Once the product has been absorbed in your mouth, wait up to 10 minutes before eating or drinking. This will ensure the most optimal experience. You should. Lately, I don't know if I can go 10 minutes without eating. I feel like all I do is eat. Like the thought of, I gotta wait 10 minutes before I can eat. Like, whoa, I'm gonna miss a snack. Fuck. I'm gonna be like this in a month.
This is good. Yeah, this strain a lot.
Okay. You should start feeling the effects in about 15 to 30 minutes because of the way they are absorbed. Sublinguals are as fast acting as vaping or smoking, so it's important to dose carefully. Another good thing, they are odorless, providing for discreet usage. Treating pain with sublingually administered cannabis extracts is preferred by many physicians. Sublingual administration might also have the benefit of a more consistent dosing regimen while avoiding the adverse effects of smoking. I have a CBG, CBD broad spectrum tincture, and I use that during the day. And I dose that under my tongue and then wait.
Also taken the CBD one with you on when we go to events. If you get too high, you dose it with that too, so you don't get.
I'll pre-dose with it, and then I can smoke all night and not get way too high.
Mrs. Weedman's trick.
I'm a cheater. I'm a cheater stoner.
No, that's just being cautious to make sure you don't green out.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know,
because I want to enjoy different strains through the night. And
we go to a lot of, and we go to a lot of events.
And then I have too much.
That we're at, and we're rolling joints, and you don't understand how many people come by to get us baked. Mm-hmm. I mean, Igneous.
Yeah.
I'm blaming some of that on you because you come by
Midwest Terps
coming by. I mean, so many, Three Trees.
Yes. Yeah,
Ralph Wiley.
But Spliff Society too.
Come by with his monster cones and shit. I'm like, And then you got everybody else too. And then we're smoking, you know, plus we're always next to Courtney and Toasty.
Yeah.
And she's always got fat doinks. Yes. You know, so I mean, like, and we're there for 4 to 6 hours.
Yeah. So you're just stacking and stacking your dose.
So, I mean, you're smoking a lot at these, and you just got to learn to moderate and pace yourself. And doing that trick,
it works.
It works. Yeah. So you don't green out.
Yeah.
You know, then you get to enjoy all night.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, sublinguals, they'll have their place. I do enjoy them. Just know that, you know, you might have, if your tolerance is high, you have to take a higher milligram dose,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there's different doses too. And there's people making some phenomenal sublinguals right now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you just got to find the right people. Right people, not the snake oil salesman.
Yeah. Good product.
You can actually make them yourself too. So, blurred lines, is this hemp or weed? My goodness, right now.
It's so.
I'm over it.
Yeah.
I really am.
Yeah.
I'm tired of hearing about it.
Yeah.
It's just like, I said this like 2 years ago. I said, you're pushing this. All of you out there, you found a business development, or as everybody else, and every journalist or every fucking politician or lawyer calls them, a loophole.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. I'm calling it business development. You found a way to develop business.
Mm-hmm.
But I said this. Mm-hmm. I said this 2 years ago that you were doing this too fast. Because did you really truly think that the legal cannabis industry was going to let you come and sell THCA, Delta 8, Delta 9, HHC, THCP, H-O-O-O, what, fucking whatever? I said this. I said, you're pushing it way too fast. You're trying to go around instead of go through. And you're eventually going to get popped. And now all these states are banning all this stuff. So it is so blurred, though, because I hear people coming up and telling me, man, I smoked some really good THCA last night. I was like, I don't even want to educate. Because I don't want to, you know, some people don't care. You know, they just, that's what they know. So it's like, I don't even educate anymore on that. It's like, because so many people are saying that now. There's people like labeling their stuff here at events. Here's THCA.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, if that's what you got to do to get through the business development side of things, I understand that. But please educate the consumer.
That it's weed.
That THCA is not, you're not getting high from that. Mm-hmm. You have to decarb it. So basically, it's just... I can digress for hours upon this. I really could. But in a rapidly evolving cannabis industry, distinguishing between hemp and cannabis has become more challenging, leaving consumers to discern among multiple products sold in both regulated and unregulated markets, creating unprecedented confusion. One primary example of this confusion is what is known as THCA hemp. This product exists in the gray area between legal hemp and regulated cannabis due to its conversion when heated into THC. The main psychoactive compound in cannabis. The situation raises critical questions about consumer safety, market fairness, and the trajectory toward broader cannabis acceptance and federal legalization. The critical questions. As our industry continues to mature, we must ask ourselves, is THCA hemp merely a temporary regulatory loophole? Journalist. Mm-hmm. Business development, parentheses. Or does it represent a more straightforward path to federal legalization and broader cannabis acceptance? This gray area demands more explicit guidelines and greater transparency to alleviate consumer confusion and ensure the product meet rigorous legal standards. The ongoing dialogue around THCA hemp role in cannabis policy and consumer education underscores the importance of regulatory evolution and informed discussion.
Yeah, I think if it's going to stay in the marketplace as THCA or, you know, Delta 8, whatever, if it's going to stay in the industry, I think there have to be really clean clarifications of what...
Standards.
Well, I mean, even like some way that the public has to learn what these differences are. And they're very, they're very substantial differences.
Yeah.
And the public needs somehow to, like... universally be educated on
that. It's just like cigarettes back to us in the 80s when we would go to the store.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to the store now and buy Delta 8 at a gas station. We would go buy cigarettes at a gas station for a buck. And we would say they were for our mom at the house, but meanwhile they were for us. But they all knew what cigarettes our parents smoked, so I'd have to smoke Kools, which sucked. Ugh. But we did. You know, so this is the same thing. But where alcohol, people would sneak and buy alcohol at the gas station with a fake ID or get, they knew the gas station that you can buy, they didn't card. Mm-hmm. Same thing. But you're also got to understand something. This is new to most parents because you can never go to a gas station when we were growing up to buy this stuff. So you try to push this through way too fast without getting some kind of legalization going.
Right. Meanwhile, and that's what I'm saying. Like the general public needs to be informed.
Right.
The differences of these things, because right now it's just complete confusion.
Right. They just think their kids are getting stoned.
Right.
On different cannabinoids. Like THCA, a tetrahydrocannabinolic acid, is a non-psychoactive precursor found in unprocessed cannabis plants. When heated through smoking, vaping, or cooking, THCA converts into THC, unlocking the plant's psychoactive potential. We've talked about this many of times. Just good to talk about it more. The conversion is crucial for understanding cannabis potency and navigating the legal landscape. However, the calculation can be complex. I didn't even know there was a calculation. And I thought I knew everything. Just kidding. Total THC equals THCA times 0.877 plus THC. Okay, I'm going to read the formula why. This formula accounts for the conversion efficiency, providing a closer estimate of the product's psychoactive potential and potency. Yet for many consumers, the intricacies of this process remain opaque, underscoring the need for straightforward information. THCA is the psychoactive component in smokable cannabis flower. Regardless of how it is classified, including marijuana and hemp, the only difference is the name is referred to at states where marijuana remains illegal. The need for transparency and consumer safety, which we just talked about. The 2018 Farm Bill distinguished hemp from marijuana by settling a Delta-9 THC threshold at 0.3%. Because of its legal definition, many assume hemp and cannabis are different plants, and that hemp does not produce psychoactive cannabinoids, which we know is not the case. The focus also overlooks THCA's impact, complicating regulatory compliance and consumer education. Accurate labeling and informed consumption are essential as the market evolves, empowering consumers to make educated decisions. Patients and consumers have contacted this writer directly, sharing their frustrations, thinking they are purchasing low THC hemp products, but then experience a much stronger effect than anticipated or preferred, underscoring the importance of transparent labeling and education. But how did we get here in the first place? The definition of hemp products has evolved over the past 5+ years since the 2018 Farm Bill. This has been a bit of a convergent evolution, a process in which organisms that are not closely related independently evolve similar features. But is not the plant evolving? Like biological evolution, the industry has been adapting to legal interpretations as it grows, and this rapid evolution is leaving everyone perplexed. How can one plant become two and then turn back into one? Historically, hemp has been a low-potency crop, grown for fiber to produce textiles and seed for its healthy oils and high omega-3 fatty acids. I eat hemp seed every morning. These plants needed to process. So the sticky flower resin was minimized through centuries of crop selection to reduce the sticky oil content produced by the flowers as much as possible. The cultivation strategy changed when the popularization of CBD in the mid-2010. Hemp plants, low in THC, could be bred to produce high amounts of cannabinoids such as CBD. The 2018 Farm Bill divided cannabis sativa L into two categories, hemp and marijuana, which define hemp as any cannabis plant that is below 0.3% THC, and marijuana as a plant that tests above 0.3% THC. The intention was to ensure intoxicating plants were cultivated as marijuana and regulated as such. This language would allow farmers to grow crops for fiber and seed and non-intoxicating cannabinoids such as CBD, CBDA, CBG, CBGA, etc. This definition also meant the hemp would not be considered a scheduled, controlled, and federally legal substance like cannabis. However, lawmakers failed to realize one critical point, THCA, a non-intoxicating cannabinoid, is the prominent intoxicating cannabinoid in the cannabis plant. Cannabis plants don't produce high amounts of Delta-9 THC. Delta-9 THC comes from the decarboxylation or decarbing of THCA when you consume cannabis flower in traditional ways, such as smoking, vaping, or heating and ingesting it orally. Is it making sense now? The U.S. Department of Agriculture clarified this by solidifying rules for producing legal hemp, according to the USDA, which regulates hemp cultivation. Hemp plants must pass two burdens of proof to be considered hemp. It was grown by a licensed hemp grower in compliance with state hemp rules that the USDA approved. It meets pre-harvest standards of the total THC outlined by the USDA. Furthermore, to be shipped over state lines, hemp products must remain under 0.3% THC. So then, how is marijuana being sold nationwide across state lines and outside the regulated market under the name of THCA hemp? The ripple effect of DEA announcements and state loopholes, parentheses, business development. In an intriguing turn of events, the Farm Bill's declaration that the magic number distinguishing hemp from marijuana is mere 0.3% THC content has paved somewhat of a path. The seemingly straightforward threshold has unwittingly given rise to complex web of supply and demand dynamics, further complicated by patchwork of state regulations and inequity of cannabis market.
Little cotton mouth?
Just talking a lot. Dry mouth. The problem begins with the glut of cannabis with certain state borders, creating a surplus that the regulated market can no longer absorb. The abundance has nudged prices downward, prompting many to find relief beyond licensed state markets. Here lies the twist. States with restrictive cannabis laws inadvertently fan the flames of demand, with the allure of direct shipping offering a tantalizing workaround. Yet, this is where the waters are muddy. Specific business development within the state hemp programs have quietly allowed the production of what the USDA standards could be classified as marijuana masquerading as hemp. The crux of the issue lies in the pre-harvest testing for total THC. In states where the regulations gloss over the definition of total THC, a narrow focus of Delta-9 THC can mistakenly greenlight the cultivation of plants that the USDA would deem too high in psychoactive potential to be considered hemp. Still a lot more. Stick with me. It's making sense, right?
Yeah.
Navigating the minefield, risk and ramifications. Suppliers trending this fine line are playing with fire, as the federal hammer could come down hard those caught distributing hot products across state lines. Indeed, all the THCA cannabis flower will ultimately surpass 0.3% Delta-9 threshold due to the conversion of THCA to THC that occurs. How? Decarbing it. For consumers, the legal landscape is equally fraught. Purchasing products with a THC content exceeding 0.3% Delta-9 threshold could lead to encounters with law enforcement, classifying their purchase as illegal marijuana. Moreover, the absence of mandated safety testing in the hemp market poses significant health risks, leaving consumers vulnerable to contaminants and unaware they're dabbling with potent products. This scenario, while offering a lifeline of cannabis access to those in prohibition states, is riddled with pitfalls. The complexity of legal jeopardy and health hazards underscore the pressing need for a more straightforward, safer pathway to cannabis accessibility. A unified path forward. Federal clarity meets regulatory harmony. The ideal trajectory towards resolving these challenges calls for a harmonized approach to hemp and cannabis regulation. By embracing the similarities between these two branches of the cannabis family tree, we can streamline the legal framework, benefiting all stakeholders involved, adopting uniform testing and labeling standards akin to those outlined by the USDA, or establishing a cohesive regulatory framework promised to bolster product safety, legality, and consumer confidence. Such interrogation addresses the pressing issue of supply and demand balance and opens the gates to new markets brimming with high-quality, compliant products. For consumers, this means access to a broader array of safe cannabis options, free from the shadows of legal uncertainty and the risk of untested products. Further clarity and compliance. In the quest of demystifying the cannabis market, federal legalization emerges as a beacon of hope. With this, the establishment of minimum standards for state marijuana and hemp programs could pave the way for more transparent, regulated, consumer-friendly cannabis landscape as we navigate the intricate journey. A goal remains clear: to forge a path that ensures safety, legality, and accessibility for all, leaving confusion and risk in the rearview mirror. Wonderful article. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better. And this was written, it was an opinion written by Dustin Scheuer, president of Revolution Cannabis. So, and I thought it was really nice, really good, well-written article. Had to read it. Whether you like him or not, doesn't matter.
Right.
He gave some knowledge out
that
there.
That was good.
Mainstream CBD, a decade of it.
Yeah.
What have we learned?
Well, when we started Care by Design, the most often asked questions were, what are CBDBs? Meaning CBD or cannabidiol. And what do you mean this type of cannabis likely won't get me high? What's the point then? Well, since then, CBD has undergone, so this is a story from this company. Since then, CBD has undergone a remarkable journey. It became the darling of the wellness movement for a period, only to be turned on its head and morphed into something that's very much the antithesis of healing. But even with those detours, CBD-rich cannabis has endured as a therapeutic modality with untapped potential. CBD is a naturally occurring, mostly non-intoxicating component of the cannabis plant, which has a long history of use for treating health problems. Queen Victoria reportedly used a CBD-rich cannabis tincture to ease the discomfort of menstrual cramps in the late 1800s. But by the end of the 20th century, few people in the U.S. knew much about medicinal applications of cannabis. Under the spell of prohibition, medical cannabis had retreated to the shadows. The lingering stigma of reefer madness deceived many into thinking that marijuana was a dangerous street drug with no therapeutic value. And in America's cannabis breadbasket, Northern California's Emerald Triangle, renegade cannabis horticulturists nearly bred CBD strains out of existence in favor of euphoria-inducing high THC plants. CBD became a casualty of decades-long war on drugs, which suppressed legal access to medical cannabis while fostering a robust illicit market. Fortunately, several prominent scientists, including the late Dr. Raphael Michelem, never lost interest in CBD. Their groundbreaking research inspired Project CBD and a handful of allied cannabis advocates who understood the importance of this neglected compound. They also inspired a small number of gutsy product makers, dispensary operators, and other early adopters who were willing to take a gamble and invest in CBD-rich consumables at a time when the shelves were stocked entirely high with THC options. By the mid-2010s, more people were curious about the potential of CBD, but they weren't necessarily trying to inhale it. By utilizing modern cannabis oil extraction techniques, it was possible to craft novel, non-smoking CBD-infused products. The new medical cannabis landscape featured tinctures, edibles, and topicals with measured doses and precise ratios of CBD and THC, allowing for better patient management of cannabis's psychoactive effects. Both CBD and THC have remarkable health potential. So, too, do dozens of lesser-known cannabinoids, flavonoids, and aromatic terpenes found in cannabis. What's more, these compounds tend to complement one another's effects, meaning they're more effective in combination than individually, just as Mother Nature intended. Given the history of reefer madness in this country, it's not surprising that the PR strategy of some CBD brands would spin CBD as the good cannabinoid and THC as the bad cannabinoid, simply because the latter can make one high. But is a dose of euphoria really a bad thing? Good fun is good medicine. Stress, anxiety, depression, they're all known to decrease immune function, disrupt sleep, and shorten life expectancy. So if occasionally getting high lifts one's spirits, there's nothing wrong with that. Our company's philosophy is that medicine has to work, but taking your medicine doesn't have to be unpleasant. But we also recognize that some people find the effects of THC to be unpleasant, and a lot depends on how one metabolizes it. Non-intoxicating and low-intoxicating CBD-rich products with little THC are made to order for those who don't want to get high, for whatever reason. The idea that one could benefit therapeutically from cannabis without having to smoke it and without getting uncontrollably high from it would prove irresistible to thousands of people. Before long, it seemed that everyone was talking about CBD. Hemp startups started hawking everything from CBD-infused pillows, sportswears, bras, bum cream, and dishware to CBD-infused coffee and rum, eventually prompting the hashtag #StopTheCBDMadness. And all fads must come to an end. Before long, CBD fell out of favor as the wellness industry's it girl. Frankly, at Care by Design, we were relieved to see the hysteria wane. While we're strong believers in the scientific evidence and credible anecdotal reports attesting to CBD's anti-inflammatory and anti-anxiety-reducing properties, we never believed it was the silver bullet. Unfortunately, the CBD madness didn't end so much as morph into a more sinister kind of derangement on the heels of the 2018 Farm Bill, which this feeds off of your article.
That's why I gave it to you.
Which legalized hemp and its derivatives. CBD entrepreneurs were faced with a conundrum: what to do with all the huge stockpiles of hemp biomass when the market was in a free fall. The answer for numerous CBD manufacturers and countless illicit producers was to chemically convert CBD isolate into Delta 8 THC and other intoxicating compounds, slap a label on the product calling it federally legal hemp, and sell it in every corner bodega and gas station across the country for a fraction of the cost of authentic cannabis. The authors of the 2018 Farm Bill never saw it coming. Initially, heralded for its gentle, non-intoxicating effects, CBD is now being used primarily as starter material to create a raft of synthetic THC knockoffs, the cannabis equivalent of bathtub gin, that have nothing to do with wellness or medicine. At Care by Design, our approach to cannabis therapeutics is enduringly simple. We believe that at its best, cannabis medicine is part of an active, healthy lifestyle that includes good nutrition, exercise, purposeful work, and a supportive community. And that good medicine starts with healthy plants in a garden, not a shelf of chemicals in a laboratory. Moreover, with the antiquated research restrictions starting to lift, the therapeutic potential of CBD and cannabis can now be put to the test in clinical trials. We are hopeful that this approach, one that emphasizes medical science over marketing hype, will help restore cannabis to its rightful place in the pharmacopoeia of herbal medicines.
I love CBD.
I do too.
I love ratios, like three or four different cannabinoids together. CBD, high ratio CBD. Like, I love taking a 20-to-1. Amazing. Mm-hmm. We've always said either you take CBD every day for it to really truly work, or you take it with a little dose of THC, 0.1% or 1 milligram, you know, helps kick that into gear for you. So I've been talking about that for years, but I do like CBD. It is great from the neck down. Boy, oh boy. Like, it's great.
Well, it even like just mellows out.
The last couple of days, a friend of mine gave me a gummy that was 25 milligrams of CBD and 10 milligrams of CBN with no THC. This one you and I took last night. I slept like a fucking baby. I mean, we got stoned.
And you have dreams.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the CBN.
Yeah.
The high doses of CBN will either give you nightmares or it'll give you dreams.
Dreams. I was like, oh, I haven't had a dream in a long time.
Yes. So I really like this product. Mm-hmm. It's actually really good. And I just wanted to test it out.
And sleeping just as great. Sound as,
well, we, I mean, we smoke
THC.
Our joint before we go to bed. But by the time that joint goes away, that CBD, CBN kicked in. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even keep my eyes open last night. You fell asleep.
I'm falling asleep before it's time
to go to bed.
You were
snoring last night.
I woke up. I was snoring. Wasn't
like, but it was a deep sleep snore. Like, I wasn't going to wake you up. Like, kind of like you're snoring.
Yeah.
You know, you were out. You didn't. Last two nights, you haven't made it past Great British Baking Show.
Right.
Like, you haven't even made it past out, which is great. That means that product is working without THC in it.
But also not waking until my alarm or a hot flash, which is promptly like 7:22 every morning.
Yeah. But at least it's 7:22 you didn't wake up.
I know. I'm like sleeping all the way through.
I need to get us more of those. The flavor is good too.
I would say it's an equal quality sleep as high dose THC.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. Yeah. The 25 to 10. Mm-hmm. And usually, like, high dose of CBN gives me a nightmare, but this one hasn't. This one's been giving me a really lucid dreams. Hmm. I woke up in the sweats the other night. It was such a good dream. Like, I felt I was in that dream.
Wow.
That was really good.
Mm. I won't ask.
No, it wasn't sexual. Oh. Not at all. No. It was invigorating, kind of like climbing. I don't know what the fuck I was doing, actually. I just remember I woke up in a sweat, and it was like, wow, I feel great. Yeah. And it wasn't sexual. Mm-hmm. The federal cannabis legalization reform, where we're at in 2024?
Are you asking me?
No.
Oh, just good, because I was like, I don't have that article, Mr. Weedman.
The DA received an official recommendation to reclassify cannabis to a Schedule 3. We all don't want that happening. We want it just descheduled off the schedule. We want it, I mean, if the best we could probably get or hope for is get it like to where it's regulated like alcohol and tobacco. That'd be great. I want to just free the plant, period. But I'd take that over everything they're trying to do with it now. So the DEA officials are also likely weighing the U.S. and international treaty obligations. Come on. Convention of Narcotics in 1961. That fucking that whatever it is, treaty, is so outdated. So that's why that you have – I mean, even the president and the vice president are telling the DEA to shit it off the pot. You know, everybody's telling them all. But prohibition in the U.S., federal cannabis prohibition, dates back roughly 90 years. Since 1937, 87 years, 8 decades. Harry Esslinger. The Marijuana Tax Act, which outlawed the non-medicinal use of cannabis and regulated cannabis importation, cultivation, and distribution. The legislation came following the 1936 production of propaganda film Reefer Madness. As you see here, our friend Ralph Wiley, the greatest drug dealer, the first drug dealer caught of all time, Reefer Madness. The real public enemy number one, marijuana. Many states began prohibition of recreational cannabis in the preceding decade, starting in 1913 with the states like Wyoming and California. Look at California, though. The first state to legalize it medically, though, was 216. So in 1933, there were 29 other states that banned cannabis, according to the authors of the 2014 book Prohibition, Religious Freedom, and Human Rights, Regulating Traditional Drug Use. 2 decades later, the Boggs Act of 1952, the Narcotics Control Act of 1956, stepped up America's cannabis war by enacting stricter drug sentence laws. These laws set mandatory sentences for cannabis-related offenses, including 2 to 10 years imprisonment with a fine of $20,000 for first-time offenders of cannabis possession. Ugh. But it wasn't until President Nixon signed the 1970 Controlled Substances Act that cannabis became classified as a Schedule One federally controlled drug. Right up there next to heroin, LSD, ecstasy, and only classification on the CAC where drugs have no accepted medical use. It's kind of funny, though, because now cannabis, LSD, and ecstasy, and psilocybin are all going to be coming off eventually because there's so many studies and research being done now. So interesting. Despite the Schedule One designation, 11 states decriminalized cannabis in the 1970s, starting with Oregon in 1973, according to the Oregonian. The wave came following the bipartisan Schaefer Commission, determining that cannabis should be decriminalized for personal consumption. Although Nixon appointed 9 of the commission's members, he rejected its recommendation. Still, the drug on war, President Ronald Reagan signed the Anti-Drug Abuse Act of 1986, which then Senator Joe Biden co-crafted to authorize – did you hear that, everybody? Which then Senator Joe Biden co-crafted to authorize new funding for drug treatment programs and stricter penalties for drug offenses. And then George W. Bush in 1989, the father, declared a new drug on war in a national televised speech. All of us agree that the greatest domestic threat facing our nation today is drugs, he said. So you had Nixon, Reagan, Biden, Bush.
Bush.
The Green Wave in 1996. What was it? California, Proposition 215. Sorry, everybody. Proposition 215, not 216. That was my mistake. With a 55.6% majority to exempt patients and caregivers from prohibition laws. As of 2024, 38 states have legalized medical cannabis in manners that don't severely limit access to patients, while 24 states in Washington, D.C. have legalized adult-use cannabis. As the landscape continues to evolve, a record high 70% of Americans think that marijuana should be legal, according to the Gallup pollsters. It wasn't until 2013 the majority of Americans agreed in support of this issue. Federal cannabis reform in 2024, among countless variables that can impact the cannabis industry in 2024. Many stakeholders are keen on three main prospects at the federal level: DEA's pending rescheduling decisions, the Safer Banking Act passage, and the Farm Bill's reauthorization. Although cannabis advocates with the deschedule or do nothing approach have said rescheduling cannabis would only continue the disparities of cannabis criminalization, incremental reform via Schedule 2 or 3 listings could have mirrored ripple effects related to the industry's oversight and enforcement. Scientific research, criminal justice reform, and normalization should the DEA finally decide that cannabis does indeed have currently accepted medical use in the U.S. The related DEA's five-factor test makes rescheduling cannabis impossible. Terrible. Safer Banking Act, that's been being voted on a bazillion times, still hasn't gone through. The 2024 Farm Reauthorization, this is the one I've been waiting for. There's a lot of money right now, with a lot of people putting a lot of money into hemp, hemp-derived everything,
mm-hmm.
right? How many drink companies have popped up in the last year? Oh my gosh, so many drink companies. Good for them. But I keep on asking people, are you worried about what's going to happen with the Farm Bill? And no one seems to be worried. Great. Should intoxicating cannabinoid products derived from hemp be regulated like cannabis? This is a critical question posed by the industry stakeholders to congressional leaders charged with reauthorizing the Agricultural Improvement Act Farm Bill later this year. While the 2018 Farm Bill federally legalized industrial hemp, defined by having no more than 0.3% THC, which we talked about, this has been a great for business in states with prohibitive cannabis laws such as Texas, where companies in the state hemp and severely limited medical cannabis industry is generating more than $8 billion in revenue and employed more than 50,000 workers in 2022, according to Whitney Economics estimate.
The hemp industry.
Just in certain states.
Wow.
And 50,000 workers. That's why, that could be a big reason why you have not seen anything come down the pipe yet. That's a lot of people you're going to put out of work. That's a lot of money you're going to take out of the economy. It's a lot of tax dollars. Even though it's not taxed like cannabis, it's a lot of money. Nationwide hemp-derived cannabinoid sales were conservatively estimated at $28.4 billion last year, according to Whitney Economics. That's almost as much as cannabis,
mm-hmm.
legal cannabis market, not including the traditional market
mm-hmm.
and the black market, which Jim Belushi brought up a good point that yeah. you saw him speak the other day. He talked a difference. We'll talk about that after this article, but he talked about the two. What's the difference between traditional market, which we call it, and the true black mafioso market, right? Mm-hmm. Brought up a good point between the two. So we're not even talking about that. So, So that's $28.4
billion. Wow.
That's a lot of money. Federal legalization bills. There are three broad cannabis legalization bills primarily at play at Congress, including one backed by 87 House Democrats, another backed by five bipartisan House members, and another Democratic-backed bill that's teed up for reintroduction in the Senate. In September of 2023, the Marijuana Opportunity and Reinvestment Expungement Act, the MORE Act, legalization that attempts to legalize cannabis at the federal level through decontrolling and decriminalizing the plant, as well as expungements for certain cannabis offenses and create investment opportunities for those adversely impacted by prohibition. On the right side of the aisle in October 2023, reintroduced the State's Reform Act legislation would legalize cannabis by amending the Controlled Substance Act and provide for federal regulation in a manner similar to alcohol. Oh. The previous version of the legislation proposed a 25% federal tax on any product produced or imported into the U.S. And while it would have granted states the power to keep administered their own oversight programs, it would also have transferred federal jurisdiction over the cannabis from the DEA to the Food and Drug Administration. Remember that? We talked about that a bunch of times. And then there's Schumer still telling us that he's dangling the cheese. And, of course, cannabis reform is not easy, especially in a divided government, said Schumer. There's a lot going on right now in 2024. Mm-hmm. So much that's gonna determine the presidency. A lot of people, who are you gonna vote for? There's three people out there, not just two. There's three,
mm-hmm.
and they're all different on what they believe in cannabis. So, the Senate, the House, DEA, the FDA, the whatever. There's so many people involved in what's gonna happen. So, the U.S. cannabis industry last year added 23,000 jobs.
Well,
that's pretty good. New York Cannabis Control Board approves 101 new adult use licenses. Great. They're not even open yet, though. So people are still going to go to the 2,100 bodegas. But it's the truth. Feds, cannabis seizures in New Mexico continue. New York officials outlined 5-point plan to combat illicit cannabis shops. You ain't doing a good job about it, though. A 5-point plan. Beyond enforcement, they're saying. I told you what to do. Just give them all licenses.
They should call you.
No. Don't call me. You fucked it up enough. I'm not here to help. I gave you an opinion. Jesse the Body Ventura, a wrestler, he was the governor of Minnesota, got interviewed, and he said in this interview about cannabis, why am I here? He said, no, here's your problem with it. Who's making these decisions here? The DEA. Well, they're the enforcement agency. Well, how come the legislature, the Congress isn't making decisions? Why does it go to the DEA? The very people who profit from putting people in prison, having illegal drugs. They are now the ones that are making the final decision on what's going to happen with cannabis federally. Pretty good, mm-hmm. Jesse the Body. So the point is, more people like me are stepping forward. I'm putting my face on marijuana. I've teamed up with Retro Bakery. It's called Ventura Farms. I'm going to shamelessly plug it now. plug away, Jesse. And everybody out there, that will be the focus of Jesse Ventura's life because it saved my life. My wife was having seizures, yada, yada, yada. So good for you, Jesse. He shamelessly plugged himself on CNN and let it rip. He's so crazy. He was a good wrestler. Illinois lawmakers, marijuana trade group, pushed to ban intoxicating hemp products. It's coming. It's coming. Said it. Everyone was all excited. They want to do away with Delta 8 and Delta 10. But they're not going to ban CBD. But they're possibly going to ban the sale of hemp-derived THC products.
No. It's going to put a lot of companies out of business.
Mm-hmm. And there's such a different... I don't know, there's a lot of people talking about the hemp and weed game right now, and why can't hemp and cannabis owners get along?
Mm-hmm.
Because they could buy isolate from all these hemp people that are growing hemp in the state.
Right.
You know, CBD isolate for their ratio stuff, which they probably do already.
Right.
Because you can buy it. You know, they're not making it. They got to buy it.
It's not regulated.
Right. So, I mean, partner up with one another. You need each other right now. All you dispensaries that are getting pissed off, y'all need these hemp farmers. Trust me, you're going to need them even more. It's going to be harder for you to get the stuff that you need if they do away with all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama, man. Calls to disband Alabama Cannabis Commission grow louder. They still can't get anything sold. Everything. Oh, my gosh. Alabama, I feel sorry for you, my friends down there. How to legally get high in Virginia? It's legal. You can't buy it at a dispensary. But it's because there's no stores open, but you can grow your own.
Yeah. So then your friend who grows can give you some.
Right. Gift it to you.
Right.
You just found out about gifting too here in Illinois. Mm-hmm. I knew, but you just found out even more that you can gift weed.
It was like verified.
Verified. Like you can gift weed in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
So gift weed to people in Virginia. Fuck it. Fuck the stores. Do it yourselves. I told you that a couple of times. Do it yourselves, Virginia. Don't wait on the government. So Nebraska, we talked about this. They wanted to put a tax rate of 100% on all CBD consumable hemp products in the state. Well, that didn't pass. And then they want to do 25%, and that didn't pass either. So Nebraska's in an uproar right now. I posted this, and it was Americans use marijuana at nearly the same rate in legal and non-legal states, suggesting criminalization doesn't curtail consumption, Gallup polls finds. Tell us about it, Ms. Weed Man.
Well, rates of cannabis use are nearly the same in states that have legalized versus those that maintain prohibition, which suggests that criminalization does little to curtail its use. And this was found in a recent Gallup survey. As advocates have long pointed out, debates about the merits of legalization often ignore the fact that the war on drugs has not stopped people from using cannabis. The difference largely comes down to whether the products are regulated by state or not, and the Gallup polling data released last week reinforces that point. Overall, 1 in 10 Americans say that they've used cannabis 10 or more times in the past month. That's pretty high, 1 in 10 adults, okay? While 1 in 5 used cannabis at least once in the past month. Gallup shared more granular data from the survey with Marijuana Moment. revealing that 6% of people reported using cannabis every day, 4% consumed 10 to 29 days of the last month, 5 used 3 to 9 days, and 5% used 1 to 2 days. 81% said they didn't consume any cannabis at all. That kind of is contradictory to the other data, but okay. Broken down by state legal status, Gallup found that 9.7% of adults identify as regular cannabis consumers in states that have enacted legalization, compared to 8.6% in non-legal states. This narrow gap in cannabis consumption among residents of states where it remains illegal compared to those in states where it is legal suggests that its criminalization, again, it does little to curtail use among American adults, the research firm said. Among people who reported using cannabis 10 or more times in the past month, there are no differences in consumption rates between adults aged 18 to 29, 30 to 39, and 40 to 49, all of which average at 12%. A smaller portion of adults, 50 to age 64, use cannabis regularly at 8%. Followed by those over 65 at 6%. While average use is comparable between legal and non-legal states, there are statistically significant differences in consumption trends based on region, with the highest usage rates observed in the mid-Atlantic states like New York, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. And of them, only Pennsylvania has maintained prohibition for adult use. 11% of adults in the east, north, central states of Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio use cannabis regularly. In that region, Wisconsin and Indiana continue to prohibit cannabis. Notably, the usage rate in the west states of California, Oregon, and Washington is slightly lower at 10%, despite all three states having established adult-use cannabis markets. The lowest usage rates of 7% are reported in the east, south, central states of Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, and the west, north, central states of North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, and Missouri, Gallup said. The survey accounted for the fact that people now consume weed through a variety of methods, asking respondents to answer the question, how many days in the last month have you used cannabis products to alter your mood and help you relax? The caveat about the intention behind use could potentially skew the findings, as there's a wide variety of reasons beyond mood alteration and relaxation that people use cannabis. For example, it's commonly used to stimulate appetite or for medical purposes. The survey involved interviews with 6,386 U.S. adults between November 30th of 2023 and December 8th of 2023. While a minority of Americans report regularly using cannabis, polls have consistently found that there's increasingly bipartisan majority support for legalizing cannabis. As advocates have long pointed out, debates about the merits of legalization often ignore the fact that the war on drugs has not stopped people from using cannabis. The difference largely comes down to whether the products are regulated by state or not, and the Gallup polling data reinforces that point. For example, 9 in 10 Americans say cannabis should be legal for recreational or medical purposes, a Pew Research Center poll found last month. And most agree that legalization bolsters local economies and makes the criminal justice system more fair. A separate Gallup poll from last November found that support for cannabis legalization reached a new record high nationally, with 7 in 10 Americans, including a sizable majority of Republicans, Democrats, and Independents, backing an end to prohibition. Another survey released last month found that a strong majority of voters in three states, including more than 60% of Republicans, support congressional legislation to protect states' rights to set their own cannabis laws. Pew also released a separate report in February that found 8 in 10 Americans now live in a county with at least one cannabis dispensary. The analysis also shows that high concentrations of retailers often cluster near borders abutting other states that have less permissive cannabis laws, indicating that there's a large market of people who live in still criminalized jurisdictions who cross state lines to purchase regulated products.
Sweet.
Yeah.
It's great for us.
Mm-hmm.
International news. Sunrise cannabis sector is still to emerge in South Africa. The perspective from South Africa on cannabis legalization reflects the complex and evolving situations marked by legal uncertainty, grassroots activism, and political challenges. Come on, South Africa. You legalize it, man. Get it together. See what's happening. In remote northern India, weed isn't a trend. It's a way of life. Hmm. Way of life. And, you know... As the sun
in northern India,
yeah, Himalaya mountains, yeah. You know, Hindu Kush, baby, yeah. Hindu Kush. It's a way of life. German officials consider cannabis ban at Oktoberfest. Terrible. Already putting fucking, it's legalized. You're already stopping it. Police arrest international gang in $686 million medicinal cannabis scam. Police forces led by Spain have arrested a gang which allegedly defrauded 645 million euros from victims in 35 countries in a scam centered around cannabis plants for medicinal use. An Avalon mayor, Himalaya Habsui, detained after cannabis haul found in her home. Police said that it had discovered about 1 kilogram of cocaine and cash and gold bars. And Himalaya, who was the mayor of Avalon, and two of her brothers were among 7 people arrested earlier in the week, the public prosecutor said. Oof. There's some women out there changing cannabis.
There are.
Tell us about it. I'm going to go let Yuki out. Yeah, she's pacing. Sorry, buddy.
These 5 women are changing 420. The cannabis industry is still driven by men, but these 5 women are changing 420 and upending the industry by focusing on the future. Since it started becoming legal, the cannabis industry has been filled with bros trying to run everything. Some smart, some shysters. They have had an oversized say in the direction of where legal weed is going. But women are having a moment and a huge impact in the millions of new legal consumers. But be it in politics or products, women are making game-changing decisions on how cannabis is mainstreaming. When 420 began, the landscape was way different, and these 5 women are changing 420 today to a bigger, more mainstream celebration. First woman is Nancy Whitman. She co-founded Wana Brands in 2010, elevating it from her kitchen to an international cannabis edible powerhouse. With North America's largest distribution footprint, it is a top international brand available in 17 U.S. states, the U.S. territory of Puerto Rico, and 9 Canadian provinces and territories, generating close to $300 million in retail sales annually across more than 3,000 dispensaries. As a pioneer in the legal cannabis market, she has shown again and again her commitment to research and crafting safe, innovative products. She understands that millions of canna newbies are looking for something to pair perfectly with their non-stoner lifestyle. Under her leadership, Wana was acquired by Canopy Grow, which is owned in part by alcohol behemoth Constellation. Nancy's inclusive vision led to an executive team that is 70% female, a rarity in the industry and a reflection of her dedication to diversity. The second woman is Senator Patty Murray. In the Old Boys Club of Congress, Senator Patty Murray has risen in the ranks, thankful to a willingness to focus on solving problems, thinking of the average citizen, and wielding her knowledge and strength. As the third most powerful person in the Senate, she is working with Senate Leader Schumer and bipartisan groups to make significant inroads into federal marijuana policy. As a longtime champion of veterans, this will benefit those who have served and suffer from PTSD. And we have Shauna Selden McGregor. In a sometimes rough and tumble industry with some wacky players, it is good to have a public relations firm you can trust. Mirroring the mainstream industry, Maverick PR has helped the industry move past old stoner bro images. Founded by Shauna, who has become the consultant to industry executives and a media whisperer, keeping the good players growing. Shauna's ability to make cannabis messaging mainstream has been a hallmark of her career. Since the inception of adult use in Colorado, she has led effective publicity campaigns for top brands including Wana, Native Roots, Deep Roots Harvest, and Botany. Trusted by leaders, she has been able to understand and guide companies into change. Her understanding of consumers and media has been invaluable to industry leaders. And we have Deborah Borchardt. She was a respected media voice on Wall Street when she jumped into the marijuana world, founding Green Market Report. Premiering at a time when the industry was still evolving, she brought reason and truth to the table. Known for her straight reporting, she has taken on corruption, crazy leaders, and complicated financial deals. Media company Cranes, recognizing the growth of the market, acquired the asset and has helped Borchardt reach her vision. Highlighting legit good companies, Green Market Report has become a must-read for investors, politicians, and executives. And five, Pamela Hart. With a talent for organization and building infrastructures, Hart jumped into the industry in 2015. Seeing an opportunity to build infrastructures and platforms, she brought her management skills to a variety of companies. As COO of Kenne Ventures, she has helped review, fund, and advise for GoFire and AI startup We Dream World. Understanding the mainstream appeal, she has been a champion of Cannabition, a state-of-the-art cannabis immersive experience opening next to Planet 13 in Las Vegas. She has added managing partner and operations manager of the exhibit alongside her other duties. She shared that over the last 8 years, the priorities of entrepreneurs and investors have matured, and as the market for cannabis has grown and it has also become accepted by the general population. I'm sure there are many more powerhouse women out there helping shape the industry, and I look forward to seeing and hearing about their impact and their successes.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Women will rule the world one day.
Yeah.
You watched the... what'd you watch the other day?
Cold.
What'd you watch the other day?
I don't know.
You watched Jim Belushi speak, but what was
last week, there is a tech lab in the city of Chicago called the 1871 Group. That's it. And they are a fintech incubator. They help fintech startups. One of their avenues of help is with Gronin, I believe is the name.
I think so, yeah.
And that's a cannabis organization. And so they help between 1871 and Gronin, they help cannabis innovation and technology startups in Chicago. So there was a summit last week with a keynote speaker that was Jim Belushi. Jim Belushi is a hemp farmer and then became a cannabis farmer and now has a cannabis brand, and his brand is now in Illinois.
Yes.
And so he was the keynote speaker, and it was interesting. It was kind of an open platform. There were some questions asked. It was a Q&A at the end. Anyway, then some other speakers got up. There was a panel of a couple of attorneys in the Illinois cannabis law landscape. And boy, were they super, super. Their delivery of information was phenomenal. It was a lot of really great, powerful information. And then there were presentations of startups doing their pitch, giving their little elevator pitch. And that was a competition that you could actively vote on if you were participating either virtually or in place. But Jim Belushi, my favorite takeaway comment that he made He talked a lot about acting and how he felt going into cannabis and the parallel that he found in being an entertainer and cannabis, and that they both are really about making people feel good. And he liked that parallel, and that's kind of where he sits with his philosophy behind why he grows and his passion in growing. But he also brought up, somebody had shouted out something about don't forget the illegal market or the illicit market, and implying that
I think he said don't forget about the traditional market,
right? And then anyway, there was some banter back and forth about a legacy or traditional market and black market, and there's not a black market or there is. Anyway, he just made this really short and sweet statement. He said, I feel there's both. There is your black market. And he said, and my farm in Oregon happens to back up to a cartel. That's black market. That's criminality. They don't care about the quality of the weed they're producing, if it's mixed with other things. All they're caring about is moving drugs and getting them sold and getting one more person dependent on their supply. It's big business, and there's a lot of violence within it. That's black market. And then there is traditional, and that's legacy. These are the people who care about the plant. They believe wholeheartedly that this plant is made for us and we need it. Each and every person needs it and they don't even know it. And they do everything they can to maintain the integrity of the plants and the seeds and the genetics and the strains and the land that it grows on and the processes to grow it. That's legacy. That's tradition. And I was like, and he, of course, I just elaborated. But nuts and bolts, the takeaway is so true, that there's both.
Right.
There is a bad black market out there, right, and there is a traditional and a legacy market.
That was great when you told me that, too.
I was like, oh,
that makes
sense.
That
was great.
Yeah, that was really good. I'm glad you got to catch all that.
Yeah.
So
that was good, yeah.
Yep. Here's some movies to watch while you're stoned. Some different movies. Vampire, 1932. Pinocchio, the picture behind
Pinocchio.
Me, 1940. His Girl Friday, 1940. Never seen that one. Beauty and the Beast, 1946. The Red Shoes, 1948.
I think I've seen that.
The Night of the Hunter, 1955. Forbidden Planet, I've seen that one, 1956. Yeah. Invention for Destruction, 1958. Black Orpheus, 1959. The Manchurian Candidate, 1962. I think that was with Frank Sinatra. Playtime, 1967. Felony Satrione, 1969. Donkey Skin, 1970. Hee-haw, hee-haw, hee-haw. Fantastic Planet, 1973. Blood of Dracula, I've come to suck your blood. Zardoz, 1975. Phantom of the Paradise, 1974. Tommy, 1975. The Rocky Horror Picture Show, 1975. House, 1977. The Shining, 1980.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't pronounce this movie, so I'm not even going to try. Stop Making Sense, 1984. After Hours, 1985. Tampopo, 1985. Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown, 1988. Slacker, 1990. Chug King Express, 1990. Dick Tracy, 1990. The Hudsucker Proxy, 1994. The Virgin Suicides, 1999. Mulholland Drive, 2001. That was a good one. Spirited Away. Oh, so good. Shoddy loves that movie. The Saddest Music in the World, 2003. Control, 2003. Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good one. Jim Carrey. Lady Vengeance, 2005. The Fountain. Oh, it's not out. It's out. 2006. Short Bus, 2006. Pan's Labyrinth, freaky, 2006. Sunshine, 2007. Mr. Fantastic Fox, 2009. A Town Called Panic, 2009. The Tree of Life, 2011. Holy Motors, 2012. The Green Knight, 2021. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. We never finished that movie.
Yeah.
So there's some movies. They called these movies.
What was the reason these are good stoner movies?
Hold on, let me get back to the top here.
They went way back.
50 highbrow movies to watch when you're totally high.
Oh.
So there's some movies for you to watch.
Yeah.
Mr. Weedman.
Mr. Weedman.
You always yell at me when I ask you this question.
What?
Got anything else to say?
I had cupping done. I had acupuncture done and cupping last week. And I'm hoping these spots go away on my back. I don't know. I don't even know why I just said that right now. Oh, I touched my back and it's like one of them is a little bit bruised.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I have to say.
But everybody, the cupping helped though.
The cupping helped. Yeah. Yeah.
You said you were like floating off the table.
Yeah. I felt like it was, it was interesting. I've had it before, but anyway, everybody have a phenomenal week. Thank you for listening and just come back and listen some more.
And sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring.
Yes.
Tell us what you want to hear.
Yes. Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe that's an open door to maybe some things we don't want to talk about. Say hi.
Thank you, Igneous, for getting us stoned.
Yeah.
We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Everybody out there in the world, 2001 or 201 episodes now. We love you for listening. We appreciate you all out there for listening. We thank you for everything you do for us and keeping us motivated to keep on going each and every day. We love you all out there. As Paulie always says, smoke smart. Puff, puffing away.
Puff, puff, pow.
Check out our cannabis lifestyle brand online at 8decades.com. Our custom smokes and accessories are perfect for your coffee table, bedroom nightstand, or kitchen counter. They're designed for you to show them off. The canna community is also loving our hemp and cotton blend t-shirts, sweatshirts, scarves, and hats, finished off with our 8decades logo. We've got some awesome, long-lasting goods that will be your favorite for years to come. 8decades, because a ninth decade of cannabis prohibition isn't acceptable.